Good morning. How is everyone today? We're going to be looking this morning at Luke 15 and as we continue with the series in Luke. And this particular chapter I've entitled God's Heart for the Lost. And when, you know, this word, the word loss can conjure up a lot of emotion. Amen. Anyone lost something very significant? I remember many years ago, our house was broken into. And I remember that very first thing when I came into the house at lunchtime, seeing the door broken into. And the first thought is, oh my goodness, what about, I wonder if our dog is okay. First thought, where's our dog? And then starting to go through the house and realizing that we lost a lot. And just that deep pit that left. And I'm sure all of us in life have had situations where we've lost things. You know, whether it's a wallet, whether it's keys. Anyone done that? I've done that too many times. But loss, and it does have some significance. And so this morning we're going to be looking at three parables that deal with this thought of lost. First passage we want to look at is in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." It's important as we look at parables that we understand that context is so very important in these stories. And so as we go through these parables, we need to remember who these parables were addressed to. There was a crowd there, but there's particular men. These Pharisees, the rulers of the law. And so these parables were going to be addressing some very significant situations with them. You know, we sometimes think that this, that when we think of the word loss or the lost, we think of unbelievers. Amen? But as we go through these passages, and particularly the third parable, we're going to see that it's more than just unbelievers who can be lost. And we'll see that as we look at the prodigal son. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were the ones that were grumbling at the Lord for what he was doing. And what was he doing? He was interacting with those who were far from God, who were lost in their walk. So let's look at the first parable. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So here this parable really is, we have these sheep and one gets lost. And it's not really, the focus here is not so much on the lost sheep, but what does the shepherd do? The shepherd leaves the 99, and I'm sure that if anyone's had to leave someone, to go after something. You know, you're always wondering, are the 99 going to be okay? And I'm sure he probably, being a good shepherd, probably had someone watching those 99. But the passion, the desire that this shepherd had to go after that one, and I'm sure it was going to be a very difficult situation. This thought of being lost, you know, sometimes it's you know, we have that thought that, you know, depending on how much it costs us, it affects us in different ways. But many times when God allows loss into our life, and many of us, if we haven't had some loss, you know, there's an enemy who is out there to steal, kill, and destroy, amen? And so there is loss that people experience. But I want us to know that in this loss, in these certain situations, experiences, it's a signal from God and a divine invitation to reach out and see God move in our midst. And as this, the good shepherd, leaves the 99, it's an invitation for him to go out and look for that lost sheep. It shows how much he cares for just one. And I remember that when I became a Christian, I often heard that, you know, God, if you were the only person in this world, God would still die for you and you alone. That's how valuable you and I are to the Lord. And it's his desire and his intention to go after each and every person, sheep, that is lost. And then we come to this second parable. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels in God over one sinner who repents. And this is very similar to the previous about the sheep. Here, this one is a woman has lost a coin. And this coin was a drachma, and it represented a day's worth of pay. So this was significant. How many of you could lose a day's worth of pay and not feel it? I think we probably all agree that, especially in our families, that day of loss of pay can be significant. And loss is significant for all of us. And I love these words. If she loses this coin, does she not light a lamp? And that lamp speaks of the light of God. When there's loss, we need to go to the word of the Lord, the lamp unto our feet for wisdom, for revelation, for understanding. She begins to sweep the house, and that's that thought of clearing away that which is distractions, those things that hide, those things that are important to us, and search carefully until she finds it. You know, the Father is a good shepherd who seeks out those who are lost. And that's a beautiful thing that we have to understand, and we recognize that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is one that is always, always seeking out us. You know, we all drift. We all tend to have that tendency to go astray like sheep. And then we come to this third parable. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So here we have this prodigal son. And this younger son really had this, it was a shocking request. Give me my inheritance now. And if you think about that, when does someone get an inheritance? When a family member passes. So what he was actually saying to his father is, what? You're as good as dead to me. And so he wanted this inheritance. He took this inheritance and he ran off to find himself in this world, enjoying the things of this world outside of the father. Another shocking is the father. The father said, go out. Here's inheritance. And I thought about that. I was like, yeah, that would not happen with my kid. I was like, yeah, good luck. Good luck living on your own, finding a job. But yeah, the inheritance isn't going with you. But yeah, here this father gave him this inheritance. And, you know, I felt the Lord saying that, you know, we can't live by principles. The father had wisdom, I believe, that there's going to be something that's going to be working out of this situation. So it's important that we have the wisdom from God. It's important that we operate with the voice of God to tell us, how do we deal with each situation that arises? And so he releases this child. Then they believed his words and they sang his praise, but they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. And so some of the versions say, God sent a leanness to their souls. And Isaiah 53:6 says, as we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Bible speaks to us that we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And like sheep is a tendency to drift, a tendency to walk off. And just as this son, this younger son went off with his inheritance to very reckless, and as a result, he He squandered everything that he had, and there was this desperateness, this leanness in his soul. And he began to, he hit rock bottom. And at that rock bottom, something began to change in his heart. You know, sometimes we as sheep need to hit rock bottom before we realize what we've lost. Before we realize that the world does not have everything that we really need. The world can leave us empty. The world can leave us longing for something more. Only the Good Shepherd, the Lord, can fill us with that. And so this younger son comes back home. So we come back to the second character in this parable. And he rose and he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. And it's interesting, these three parables, they all end with this thought of a celebration. Something was lost, and there's a celebration. And I think that's a good reminder to us as Christians that we need to celebrate those people that come into our midst who are lost. And when they find Christ, that should be the greatest celebration. And I know when we have those water baptisms, which are a signal of someone saying, "I've decided to die to my old life, and I'm going to live a new life in Christ." And that's a celebration, amen? When we go and watch that, we're cheering them on, and they come out of those water, and woohoo! One who was lost is now found and in the kingdom. You know, the father's reaction here is, he didn't shame the son. He didn't start saying, "I told you you're going to waste everything. You're going to hate the choice that you make." You know, there are consequences to our choices. But no, the father did not shame the son. Rather, what did he do? He put up a party for this guy. Imagine that. I mean, how many of us would, first thing, it's like, "Oh, my son, let's fatten calf." You know, fatten calf was really for special occasions. And this return of the lost son was a special occasion. And it's a beautiful picture of just that awesome grace and awesome forgiveness that the Father has for all of us. Amen. All of us have been in different places. We've done different things. We've been lost. We've been found. For some people, they kind of drift, but then they come back. And it's a celebration. Heaven is celebrating those who come back into the fold. And then we come to Luke 15, 25 to 32. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" It's Romans. "Or do you presume that the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And that is what God the Father did with this, the sheep. In his goodness, that's what is going to lead us to true repentance. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And it's so easy to understand that the younger son, he was lost. He went out on his own. But we come to this third character in this parable, this elder brother. And his reaction wasn't what you expect. You know, if these brothers were really close, you would expect the brother to say, "My brother's back." But he got triggered. He was angry. Angry because his brother came back, because his brother was getting this great celebration because he left and took the family's inheritance, squandered it, and all that. And the thought here is that there's really not just one lost son. There's two lost sons here. One is very easy to recognize. But this elder son, this lostness isn't easily recognized. And as we can see here is that in one sense, this elder brother was kind of a performance-based faith. Everything that he thought was like, "Hey, Dad, I've been here all this time. I've been doing what is right, good, unlike my brother. Doesn't that mean anything? Doesn't the things, how I've served you mean anything?" And the important thing I want us to recognize here is that the younger brother, he came, he repented because he recognized his lostness. But this older brother didn't recognize that there was an attitude in his heart. There was that his relationship with a father wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Because you see, his relationship was a transactional relationship. I do this, so Father, you can give to me. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to have that type of relationship with him. Our Heavenly Father, our relationship with our Heavenly Father isn't a transactional, but it's a relationship of grace and mercy. It's a relationship that says, "You know what? The only thing I deserve is death. The only thing I deserve is eternal punishment. But by the grace of God, by his eternal purpose, he saved me. And so I have nothing to demand of my Heavenly Father." And yet, this elder son, he was demanding that, "Hey, what about a party for me?" And the father was saying, "You've always been with me. Everything I have is already yours." And do we recognize that? That sometimes, you know, we like sheep can drift. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can drift into that attitude of performance-based, of transactional. And we miss out on some of the most important things that God wants for us. Important thing to remind us is when we read the parables of Jesus, if we always see others in those parables, if we see that this parable must be for my brother or for this person, and we don't see something that God is pointing to us, then we're missing something very significant. The parables can speak to our own hearts, and we need to have a deeper understanding of what God sees as sin and lostness. And I believe this parable of the prodigal son is showing us that, you know, lostness is not just that prodigal son that goes off. He's off in the world. Sin and lostness can really be a hidden attitude in our hearts that we need to make sure that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that if he's pointing a finger, you're drifting into that transactional relationship, into that demanding from me instead of that gracious, loving relationship, give and take. The Father wants to give us so much, but we need to humble ourselves. We need to make sure that our attitude is in alignment to his word. And this is where this parable of the prodigal son is really a parable of the two lost sons. Two ways of people trying to maybe get that self-realization or that self-salvation. In the one case, you have the younger son. He gets an inheritance, and he's going to take this inheritance, and he's going to try to live life on his own, thinking that that inheritance is going to take care of everything. Well, nothing in this world will take care of everything in our life. Then you have the older son, who is relying on his goodness, relying on his moral conformity to a set of rules. And yet, when situation arises, and that very thing that he's holding on to, that transactional relationship, is challenged, and then something rises up, and he begins to fall away. We read in this story, very interesting, that this parable ends, and we have no idea if this elder son ever comes back. He didn't partake of the feast. And, you know, I wondered why God left this parable like that. And I believe there's one thing that he wants us to take away from this parable, that any of us have that opportunity, that free will. God has given us the free will. It's a beautiful gift. But with that gift, there's always, with any gift, with anything that God gives us, there's always this kind of a shadow narrator, shadow opportunity to have that gift corrupted. And that's what the enemy wants for any of us, is to corrupt that free will gift and allow and cause us to think that we can do it, that we can rule, we can lord, be our own lord. And that's probably the greatest sin that is facing this world. A world that says, I am my own God. I want to rule and lord in my own life. And I would do what I want to do. And I don't need anyone else to tell me. And that is probably the greatest sin. And this elder brother, he missed it. He missed a feast. You know, the Bible says at the end times, there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen? That we as believers have that opportunity to come and to partake of the end time feast. This parable is saying that if we allow that attitude, if we allow that transactional relationship to take place in our life, we are in danger like that older brother, to miss out on one of the greatest things, the end time feast of the Lamb. You know, this parable really is a reminder to us that, you know, lostness can come in so many different ways. And I want to encourage, I want to challenge that us, a couple of things. We've seen the Father. We've seen in these parables that there is a desire to seek that which is lost. And so I want to challenge us to have the heart of our Father, to be sensitive to who God might be guiding us to go and seek those who are lost. Number one, be in prayer for those who are lost. We can do that. And as we are praying, be sensitive to who God is leading us. Be sensitive to how God might be speaking, might be putting those words in our heart to go and to take to these people. And then the second thought is this thought that beware of our attitudes. Beware that if there's that drifting, that we are in the Word, our focus is on the Father, we're cultivating that grace-filled, that love relationship with the Lord. And, you know, the biggest thing I can say that I've seen in my life is to the degree that we allow that the fear of the Lord, that awe for God to permeate every area of our life, will be the degree that we don't drift off. We don't allow that attitude like the older brother had to drift, to come into our life and to take us away, to miss out on the greatest feast, the greatest celebration that any of us can ever have. And that's when Christ comes back. Thank you, Lord. So I want to challenge us to take this to heart that God wants us to go be his hands and feet and seek out those who are lost. Be sensitive, seeking those, have that passion, that intention, knowing that the Good Shepherd goes with us. And he, be encouraged that there might be those here who have prodigals. The Father knows them. And the Father, he is out there pursuing them. Pray for the prodigals. Pray for ourselves that we might be those that would not miss that feast, that end time feast of the Lamb. May we go in his power. May we go in the Spirit, his Spirit, to be those who bring the lost back into the house. In this end time revival, God promises many prodigals are coming home. Many prodigals, even in our families, will be coming into the kingdom. And so let us have that expectation, let us have that desire to be a part of that great ingathering. And so, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And as we leave this place, Lord, may we go in the power and the anointing. And Lord, may your word just continue to prepare us, to keep us in the very center of your perfect will. May our relationship with you be that one of just a grace and love and not a transactional relationship. Lord, help us to not drift like the lost sheep, but Lord, help us to remain in your fold, in your care, and to do the work that you have called us out to do. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in your precious name. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week, guys.